Are you trusting in the Lord today? Let's find out on Changed by Grace. Welcome to Changed by Grace. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. We are looking again today at Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. In our last time together, we learned what it means to trust God and saw why He is to be the object of our trust. Today, we're going to see how we are to trust Him in all of our ways. Well, with your Bibles open, let's study today from Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6.
The Lord is to be the object of our trust. Listen to what John Gill writes. He says, our trust is not in a creature, the best, the holiness, or the holiest and the highest, not in any creature enjoyment as riches, strength, and wisdom, nor in any outward privilege arising from natural descent and education, not in a man's self in his own heart, which is deceitful, nor in any works of righteousness done by him, not in a profession of religion or the duties of it, ever so well performed, not in frames nor in graces as the exercise of them, no, not in faith or trust itself, but in the Lord, the object of all grace, and in Him only, in Jehovah the Father as the God of nature and providence for all temporal blessings, and as the God of all grace for all spiritual blessings and all the needful supplies of grace and for eternal happiness which has provided, promised, and freely gives. Trust in Him at all times, in times of affliction, temptation, and darkness. There is a great deal of reason for it. All power and strength are in Him to help. His love, grace, mercy move Him to it and are always the same. The consideration of what He has done for others that have trusted in Him and for ourselves in time past should induce and encourage it. And also the happiness of those that trust in Him, who enjoy peace and safety, and His displeasure at those that show any indifference of Him or distrust Him. Trust Jehovah the Son, he says, in His person for acceptance, in His righteousness for justification, in His blood for pardon, in His fullness for supply, in His power for protection and preservation, and in Him alone for salvation and eternal life. Trust in Jehovah the Spirit to carry on and finish the work of grace upon the heart, of which a saint may be confident that where it began, it will be completed. That's one way of putting it. Because some people trust in things like idols of gold and silver. Now, we might not use those terms today. We can just say money, possessions. Turn with me over to Psalm 31. Notice in Psalm 31 what the psalmist has to say in terms of where you put your trust. Verse 1 actually begins with that inscription to the chief musician, a psalm of David. He says, in You, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Your righteousness. Bow down Your ear to me and deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For You are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for You are my strength. Into Your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated those who regard vain idols, but I trust in the Lord. 1 Timothy 3:16 tells us, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Probably one of the worst things that could have happened to our society is the lottery. You agree with me?
Yes, sir.
Unless you're playing it. Many times I stop by the minute market, and that's exactly what it's supposed to be, a minute market. And I stand there in line behind people that are poor and have no money playing the lottery. And that is where their trust lies. You'll hear phrases by people, if only I could win the lottery. That's the same phrase, if only I could get rich, then I would. And then you hear Christians that say that. They'll say, if only I could get rich, then I would build this massive church. I would give all this. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't do that. You know how I know you wouldn't do that? Because you don't do that with the $10 in your pocket. You take the $10 to the minute market and buy the lottery ticket. Whatever they cost. And then you keep going back. Where is your trust? Command those who are rich in this present age. That's the poor going and doing that. Of course, the rich do the same too. There comes great responsibility with the things that we possess. We need to have the attitude that Agur had. He said there in Proverbs 30 and verse 7, two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. He says, remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food you prescribe for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Just give me my portion. Don't let me set my heart on that which is passing. We know how it is. We get paid and for the week's up, or before even the day's up, it's already gone. You have more month left rather than check left at the end of the month, right? Well, some trust in idols of gold and silver. Some trust in possessions. Even in the Proverbs, we read that some trust in armies. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We're not going to trust in these things that will perish. But we have to trust in God. That's where our trust has to be. Psalm 33, verse 16, says, no king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. The horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him. There's your key. On those who hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in You. David even said in Psalm 44, 6, I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me. But You have saved me from our enemies. You have put to shame those who hate us. And God, we boast all day long and praise Your name forever. That's where it should be. I'm not going to trust in what I have. I'm not going to trust in what I possess, because tomorrow could be gone. I'm not even going to trust in the job that I go to every day, because that too can be gone. And we know that happens. Many people that spend a long time on a job. My dad was forced into retirement before he was ready to retire. They eliminated his position. And you take someone at that age, almost ready to hit retirement, it's going to eliminate a lot of job opportunity at that point, right? Because people don't want to invest in someone that is of age like that. So what does he do? He runs around doing what no one else wants to do, courier jobs. But see, some trust in jobs, some trust in houses, some trust in cars, some trust in people. You have to trust in the Lord. And I would also say this to you, couples, married couples especially. If you're looking to each other for each other's happiness, you're trusting in the wrong one. You keep looking to your spouse to complete your expectations, to fulfill them, to make you happy and fulfilled, you're trusting in the wrong person. Because they will let you down. We let one another down, don't we? Trust in God, He'll never let you down. Notice, going back to Proverbs, notice the demand of trust. And that's found in that next phrase where he says that we are to trust in the Lord with all your heart. We are introduced to another preposition here, the word with. And this word is also showing the relationship between the Lord and the noun your heart. And again, it describes how we are to trust Him. See, anything short of all your heart is not fully trusting, is it? The Hebrew word all, it means the whole. It means the totality of an object. It means the entirety. And the word heart, it refers to the inner man. In fact, many times the word heart in Hebrew, or to the Hebrew, it referred to their bowels. And that encompassed the emotions. In this case, it's referring to the inner person, the mind, the will, the understanding. Because he's saying here, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your understanding. Trust Him with the entirety of your life. Isn't that what it is to come to Him? You give Him your life. From a human perspective, from the human side of salvation, you're giving over your life. You're making an exchange. My life for His life. It's a wonderful exchange that He allows right there, isn't it? And so, fully depending on Him, fully trusting Him, it's coming at it with that kind of price. All your heart. All your being. You've heard people say it this way. I trust Him with all the fiber of my life. The phrase with all your heart, it means with all your mind, with the full force of the mental faculties. Totally and without reservation. We hear this in Deuteronomy 6, the call that goes out to Israel. It's called the Shema. Deuteronomy 6, 4, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God. How? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And again, that's emphasizing the totality of that kind of commitment. You know what's sad? In churches today, we don't call people up to a higher bar, a higher standard. Because we always think that we got to just stay right down here. And we teach kids the same way. I say raise the bar. Give them something to shoot for. Don't leave them right where they are. And what I mean by that is we think, well, we can't teach kids how to memorize Scripture. Well, we teach them here how to do it. The program that is a very good program called Awana teaches, that's what the whole program is about. Teaching kids how to memorize Scripture. And it's done. And I've seen my kids from little one on up, and they still, I still am envious of this, and I guess this is a good thing, because of how quick they can memorize those verses. I mean, we could say them over and over and over and over, and I mean, sometimes it just doesn't stick, and you just keep working on it and working on it and working on it. But they just get it. And that's how come we've got to teach them right on in the beginning to fear God and know that that is where the beginning of wisdom comes. You start right there in the beginning. I mean, we did that while the babies were in the womb. Praying for them, singing to them. We knew Jeremy was going to be a drummer because every time I sang or preached, he kicked Teresa all over the place. So it's just so natural that he would kick us all over the place, right? But see, we got to teach them these things. We got to invest in them in these things. And let's take the King Josiah in 2 Kings chapter 23. Very remarkable young man who ruled in Israel for a very long time, over 30 years. About 8 years into his reign, he finds the book of the law and he begins to impose it on the people. You know how he did that? He started tearing down the high places, tearing down the idols. He started ordering Israel to do the sacrifices, keep the Passover, go back to the things that they were supposed to be doing. And listen to what it says of him. 2 Kings 23:25. It says, Now before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might. That sounds like Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 5. And he did that according to the law of Moses. And it says, Nor after him did any arise like him. No one like him. Isn't that sad? Sad commentary right there. You and I can change that, can't we? We can change that with our children. Our kids do not have to repeat our sins. You understand that, don't you? Teach them the right way that they are to go. Jesus said this in Matthew 22, verse 37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So again, going back to Proverbs, it's picking up the totality, the entirety. And so when we talk about trusting in the Lord with all your heart, again, it goes back to with all your being. You're depending on Him entirely. Some of the ways that we can realize this is just simply this. If you were to have everything taken away from you, who would you depend upon? Because, see, we depend on everything. We depend on the job. We depend on the paycheck. We depend on the car to get us from point A to point B. We depend on things in here. And many of these things, we just take them for granted. We expect them to happen. We don't even think twice about it until we lose it. Our sole dependence is to be on Him. Totally on Him. And when someone acknowledges something that you've done, you got to give Him the praise because He did it. Right? Well, Solomon gives a second command in this verse. It's seen in the phrase, lean not. And that essentially says this, don't trust yourself. Don't trust yourself. And the word lean here, it means to depend, to support. It means to lean on anything so as to be supported by it. And you don't want to be supported by your intellect. Adam Clark said this, it is on God, not on thyself, that thou art commanded to depend. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Jeremiah said that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? So you don't want to trust your heart. I hear TV shows today and they say, all you got to do is just trust your heart. And I'm going, wrong! No, I trust your heart. That gets you in trouble. That's what got you in the situation, right? You were trusting your intellect. We're not to trust in what we know. We're not to trust in what we know. He says, lean not on your own understanding. Don't use your intellect, your understanding, your insight, your discernment, your comprehension, your intelligence to support yourself. I'm not saying don't learn. I'm not saying don't get learning, because the proverb says get wisdom and get understanding. But you've got to go back to the very beginning in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 and understand where is the source of wisdom and understanding. Where is it? It's the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Go into chapter 2. He says, my son, if you receive my words, treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That's when you'll find it, when you do all those things. Receive, treasure, apply, cry out, lift up, seek, search. All those are verbs. So you got to do something. You got to get off your southern hemisphere and apply it. Right? I think some people lay down at night and they think, well, if I just lay my head on the Bible, I'll wake up with all this knowledge. I wish it was that easy. But you know what the fun is? It's getting the knowledge. And the process that's involved of growth. Many times it's painful. Why are we not to trust in what we know? Well, first of all, because our own understanding is corrupt. It's corrupt. It's fallen. It's woeful. Romans 3:11 says that there is none who understands. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them. He can't understand it. Because they're spiritually discerned. It's on a different level. Ephesians 2:1 says he's dead in trespasses and sins. That's why he can't understand. Chapter 2 verse 3 tells us that we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Chapter 4 of Ephesians verse 17 says that we walked in the futility of our mind, having our own understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in us, because of the hardness of our heart. That's why you don't want to trust your own understanding. It's corrupt. And there is a deadly fate awaiting those who do that. Those who do trust in themselves. It says in Psalm 49 verse 13 that this is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers who approve of their sayings. Like sheep, they are destined for the grave and death will feed on them. How about that? You want to trust yourself? The only hope that you have is the grave. Our confidence is to be in the Lord, not in man. Psalm 118, verse 8. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Many people today, they read the news furiously, anxiously. Oh, what's happening today? Where can I put all my trust? That's really what you're saying. Don't worry about it. Things are going to happen exactly as the Bible says it's going to happen. You've been studying the end of history. You know where it's going to end. So why fret? Why fret because of evildoers? You know exactly how it's going to end. God wins. And all those who know Him, trust Him, love Him, win as well. And those who lose are His enemies. Very interesting passage found in Psalm 146. It tells us that the Lord helps those who trust in Him. But He literally turns upside down those who don't. Now, I'm not talking about physically. Just have this physical image right here. Listen to what the passage says, beginning at verse 3. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Which tells me if I put my trust in the Lord, there's my help, right? His spirit departs. He returns to His earth. And that very day His plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that's in them, who keep truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turns upside down. Their life is a life of confusion, a life of no hope. Look at that. Look, the Lord does this, the Lord does this, the Lord does this, the Lord does this. That's why we got to trust Him, not ourselves, not man. Let me also say this too, that trusting in ourselves is actually a form of pride. Is it not? Paul said that we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. He said there in Romans 12:16 that we are to be of the same mind toward one another. We're not to set our mind on high things, but we're to associate with the humble. And then he says, do not be wise in your own opinion. To the Corinthians, he said this, 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he who catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thought of the wise, that they are futile, they're empty. So we don't want to give ourselves to our trusting our intellect, ourselves. He even says over in 1 Corinthians 8:1-2, concerning things offered to idols, he says, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing. Yet as he ought to know. It's almost like you think you've really got this down and you got all this knowledge and you're running around recklessly, and it's like God puts the brakes on you and says, listen, you don't know anything. And how many times have we all done that? We come to the Lord, we start learning things of God, and we run around and we even debate with people who have been with the Lord a long time. We think we got some secret truth on them now. We go out and debate with Jehovah's Witnesses, and we debate with Mormons and Catholics and Lutherans and Methodists and Baptists and people that don't know what they are. And we just go out and debate, and we go out recklessly because we're not rooted and we're not grounded and we're trusting our intellect. It's just like graduating from college. You get out there and you go, I got all this wisdom, all this knowledge. And if you trust in that, guess what? You're a fool. Because you're not trusting in God who gave you the wisdom and the knowledge. There are those who pride themselves on what they know. They go around talking about everything they know. The Scripture paints them as fools if what they trust is what they trust in, is that act right there. Notice the third verb. It occurs in verse 6, comes as another command. All these are commands, these three verbs. You're commanded to trust the Lord, you're commanded not to trust yourself, and now you're commanded to know the Lord. That's found in the word acknowledge. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. But before we get to the promise of Him directing your paths, you've got to back up. And you've got to make sure that you know Him in all your ways. See, that Hebrew word acknowledge, it literally means to know. It means to know Him. It means to have an intimate acquaintance with God. It means to be aware of Him. In fact, in the present context, it is not simply an intellectual awareness of God's existence, but acceptance of God's presence to guide and direct your life. See, to trust the Lord is to know the Lord. To trust Him is to know Him. In fact, the theme, again, of Proverbs is to fear the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge, as we've repeatedly said. And again, to get that knowledge, to get that understanding of the fear of the Lord and to find the knowledge of God, as we said in chapter 2, you have to receive My words, treasure My commands, incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding, cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding, seek her as silver, and search for her as for hidden treasures. In fact, in verse 7 of chapter 2, it says this, He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. What's that imply? It implies knowing the Lord. It implies trusting the Lord. You know, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul said that he wanted to know Him. That is, he wanted to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. You say, well, wait a minute, Paul, you know Him. And he didn't come to know Him until that very moment when he stopped trusting in himself and his intellect and his accomplishments, and he started trusting Christ.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's exactly what it means, as we have been studying this for the last two times together. Our message today has been called Knowing God, and it's available today from Change by Grace by calling us at 904-651-3351. Today's message is available on CD or MP3. You can place your order by calling us or by visiting our website at changedbygrace.org. Well, I'm Pastor Steve Herford, and I want to thank you for listening today. This ministry is a ministry of Change by Grace Community Church in Jacksonville, Florida. For more information, visit our website or call us. Thank you again for listening.